Well, welcome tonight to this special service as we gather here to remember and reflect in a unique way the death of Jesus the Christ. Truly all of history pivots on this fulcrum point that God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior and the Lord. And what we celebrate is a death. And it may seem strange to celebrate a death, but you know why. Because it was not a travesty of Roman or Jewish injustice, but as the scripture tells us, this was the predetermined plan of God himself to offer his Son as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all who would put their trust in him. And this is what we celebrate tonight. We gather to honor and praise our Lord. Let me pray for us as we begin. Heavenly Father, we pause in quiet and reflection this evening to honor your Son, given for us as a substitute in the place in which we deserve to die. For our sins against you, we have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way. And yet you have chosen to lay on your Son the iniquity of us all. It is your grace that we celebrate tonight. It is the willingness of your Son and your own willingness to offer him as a sacrifice for sins that we come with joyful remembrance. Lord, we gather as those who have received this grace, as those who know the fullness of it. And yet there may be some here who don't truly know. And we pray that your Spirit, through your word tonight, would give the full significance to their heart and open their eyes to the beauty of what you have done, the essential necessity of what it is to be restored to a right relationship with the God who created us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and we worship him tonight. I pray that all the songs that we sing, the beautiful music that is played, the scriptures that are read, and as we take communion together, that that would be truly not just a religious motion, truly the expression of our hearts of gratefulness and joy in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, virtually all that's going to be said is going to come directly from the scripture itself. We'll be reading out of Matthew's gospel account of Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion. And so if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a Bible under the chair close by, and you will be able to follow along. That's on page 832 in that copy of the scripture. We're going to read progressively through that account, and then we're going to have an opportunity for us all to respond by what else the scripture says about the death of Jesus and the significance of it. And so we'll do this by some responsive readings where the pastor who's here will read the first part. That's going to be listed at the top of the screen. And then the congregation, we're going to recite together what's at the bottom part. Let's see. Greg, you want to flip to that slide? We'll see if I can control it. So the pastor will read the top part. There'll be a line. And then as a congregation, we'll read together that second part. So let's begin that tonight in Colossians chapter 1. I'll read the top. You follow along. We'll recite in unison. We'll read through three of these as we begin, and then Chuck Finster will come and read our first passage in Matthew. Colossians 1 says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before him. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. Amen. He canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands.
This he set aside, nailing it to the cross.
I'm going to ask Chuck to come and read our first portion. Oh, we're going to sing first before that. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck.
Let's stand together. Were you there?
When Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. They are more than the hairs of my head. Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord."
Amen. Had seized Jesus, led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now when the chief priest and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" And they answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. Who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. Amen.
Please stand again.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? Was it
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge. So that the governor was greatly amazed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed on his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a man, of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Please stand.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah.
Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold,
but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot.
For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous,
that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit.
When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, he entered once for all into the holy places.
Not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption.
For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things,
presence of God on our behalf.
Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world.
But he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin, the sacrifice of himself.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for the guilt, he shall see his offspring.
He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Please stand.
sounds composed so rich a crown were the whole realm of nature mine that were an offering far too small. Love so
who among us deserves such love? Not I. But it is the glory and the grace of God to give it through his Son. Let us come to a time of communion around his table and culminate our remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the very way he says we are to remember him. By sharing together in bread and cup that signifies Jesus' own body and blood given as the atoning sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. Earlier in Matthew, from where we've been reading, Jesus institutes this symbolic meal with his disciples, and Matthew records it this way, Matthew 26:26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that he received from the Lord this very ordinance to give to the church, to continually remember Jesus in this way with the words, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Proclaim the Lord's death with a full understanding of what it means. Until he comes, until he returns and fulfills all the good promises that he has made to us. Sharing this meal in this way, it not only proclaims the Lord's death, but it proclaims that you are one of his disciples, that you are trusting in his death, and you are anticipating his return as your greatest treasure. All the vain things that charm us most in this earth do not compare to the promise of his return, not in wrath for us as we deserve, but in grace for us as he has purposed. So eating the bread and drinking the cup is only for those who proclaim such, not just with their mouths, but with their lives. And so if you belong to Jesus Christ and you are living in active fellowship with both him and his church, then gladly this evening, take and remember, somberly, yes, but joyfully, yes, for it is a fulfilled promise. Jesus gave it to his disciples on that night as something he would yet do. He gives it to us this night as something he has done, a covenant he has inaugurated and is in full force even now. If you have not trusted Christ, then what you need is not to remember Christ, but rather to receive Christ in faith as Savior and Lord. Abandon all other trust. forsake all other masters. As Peter issued the hopeful invitation to his fellow Jews in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, the refreshing grace of his own presence ruling your life. Let me ask those men who will be serving communion tonight to come forward and assemble here as we each take time to remember and reflect on Jesus who is given for us. Let me pray. O Lord Jesus, we come to have fellowship with you. Not that the tangible eating of bread and drinking of a cup establishes any kind of relationship with you. It only symbolizes the relationship we already have in full measure. That you have forgiven our sins, that you have offered yourself in your own body on the tree as the full and final atonement for sin. And you have given the new covenant, a promise of everlasting life to all who trust in you. We eat and drink tonight in worship, in celebration of what you have done, knowing it is fully accomplished. You need not offer yourself again and again like the priests of old offered up sacrifices year after year. What you have done is full and final and finished, and we trust our very souls to this gracious gift. Lord, we rejoice in the sacrifice you have made, not only for the glory it shows of you, but the grace it brings to us. And we celebrate this tonight. Receive our fellowship. Receive our honor, our worship, our glorying in you, even as we participate in this most sacred meal. We ask it for your glory and our great joy. Amen. Men, would you pass the bread and the cup among us? As you receive it, just take and hold it, and then we'll all take together. You'll find the two cups together, the bread in the bottom cup, and the juice in the top cup. Thank you. Jesus passed the bread to his disciples and said, "This is my body. Take and eat." Let's eat together. He took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you." Let's drink together. Oh, Jesus, how worthy you are. How unworthy we are. And yet, by your grace, you make us worthy to enter into the presence of your Father, holy and without spot, eternally, forever. This is a grace we can hardly fathom. And this is the grace we give you thanks for tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen. John, come and lead us.
Stand one last time.
Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor, wisdom and power. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor, wisdom and power. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, you are worthy. Lord of Lords, you are worthy. Worthy, you are worthy. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I worship you. Holy, you are holy. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you are holy. Holy, you are holy. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I worship you. Jesus, you are Jesus. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you are Jesus. Jesus, you are Jesus. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I worship you. Thou art worthy, thou.
As we look forward to resurrection morning, let us allow the scriptures themselves to have the last words. Paul from Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Amen and amen. We are dismissed.